This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. The UW-Milwaukee School of Freshwater Sciences has established itself in recent years as a leading center for research into the Great Lakes ecosystem. At the same time, just across town, is one of the country's leading organizations in the field of urban agriculture, Growing Power.
So it probably makes sense that the two institutions have a history of collaboration in many arenas. Case in point is a series of programs involving aquaponics, the field of cultivating both plants and fish in a controlled environment. Would-be aquaponics practitioners from around the world come to Milwaukee for these intensive multi-day workshops.
Will Allen is a farmer, founder, and CEO of Growing Power. Fred Binkowski is senior scientist at the UWM School of Freshwater Sciences, and they're with us in the studio. Welcome to Lake Effect.
We're happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
We're having this conversation, we're about 8 blocks from this enormous body of freshwater, and you know, there are probably people who are listening to this and thinking, there are a million fish out there. Why do we need to think of different ways to harness the power of fish, if you will?
Well, I think Fred can answer that from a scientific standpoint of what's happening in the Great Lakes and what has happened in the Great Lakes in terms of die-off of certain species or reduction in certain species and the way the ecology of the lake and so forth. But we can't just say, we can't eat those fish out in the Great Lakes or because their species are at a point where we can't fish for them anymore. We have to figure out a way of doing this. And I think these indoor facilities are important because you have less mercury in the fish and so forth. You have a cleaner product and you're able to test the product and keep it under control. So I think that's important to me, that we know what we're giving our customer.
Well, if the people out there say we have this large body of water and we have these multitude of fishes out there, well, for starters, if they're interested in yellow perch, the commercial fishery for yellow perch in Lake Michigan has been shut down since 1996. So there's no product coming by way of commercial fishing, at least out of Lake Michigan. There's a very limited amount of fish being taken out of Green Bay. So the major commercial fishery for yellow perch in the Great Lakes region to supply the Friday night fish fries and just to supply the seafood industry is coming primarily from Lake Erie, which would be both U.S. and Canadian waters. So if you want to have yellow perch and you want to have it close at hand, supporting urban aquaponics and urban aquaculture is a new farming approach and doing it in an urban environment. Doing urban aquaculture and urban aquaponics, you're putting the product at the center of consumer demand. You're reducing the carbon footprint significantly because of that. You don't have to be trucking stuff, you know, like our tomato that we eat in the wintertime travels about 2,000 miles before it gets to our kitchen counter. So aquaponics is a growing idea. It's a growing, people are interested in it. And it can be done on both a large scale, large commercial scale, but it can also be done on a home scale too, backyard type farming.
Can you talk about where UWM was coming from when it started collaborating with Growing Power?
Well, to give you a little bit of history related to that question is back in the day, and by that I mean like starting in the 70s, aquaponics was known as hydroponics. And a lot of farming was done, but it was using water only. And the manure or the fertilizer just came by way of chemicals that were added to the system. And then gradually hydroponics started evolving into aquaponics, where people started thinking of doing this more as an integrated approach. And that's kind of where we came into the picture because of the fact that we were doing a lot of aquaculture with finfish and to some extent with shellfish. And yellow perch is the target species, especially here in the Great Lakes region. The Great Lakes cities have a long tradition and history with yellow perch associated with the Friday night fish fries. Big thing during the Lent season, yellow perch becomes like the icon of the Friday night fish fries. And with that, because of all of the science and technology work that we were doing at the School of Freshwater Sciences on yellow perch, we felt it was a good fit for aquaponics. And partnering up with Growing Power and Will, we thought that we would try to use that information to expand what he was doing with tilapia and move it into yellow perch. And there's other freshwater fish that would be probably ideally suited for it too, like hybrid bluegills and maybe hybrid walleyes, and walleyes even would be a good one.
Well, so what are the kinds of things that you are still learning about aquaponics that you're putting into practice?
Well, I think for us it's learning more about different types of filter systems that creating a hybrid system versus the original system that I built over 20 years ago, which was simply a system to recirculate the water and using plants as a filtration, as a remediation piece to that system. But now we use sand filters and other different types of filters, systems that they use at UW-Milwaukee, systems that Fred introduced us to. But I think the piece that we're trying to do, because we look at our facility at Growing Power as a big laboratory. I mean, we're not going to be able to grow as many fish as needed in the area or the region or whatever. But to be able to train people that are interested, because aquaponics and aquaculture as a whole is very, a lot of people are very interested in getting into that industry. So this allows us to train folks to a certain degree, inspire them to go out and get started on smaller systems and really learn how to do this, because this is much different than just growing some plants. Fish, you really have to know what you're doing, because, you know, if something goes south, you know, you got to know how to get your fish back in line and save as many as you can in a lot of cases. So we've learned a lot. But part of what we're trying to do as an organization is really to grow some jobs, too, through this, and grow the health of the people in our city. As you know, Milwaukee is one of those cities where a lot of people don't have access to really good food. So that's all part of our history. We're in our 25th year now at Growing Power. So that's all been a part of our history.
Well, and, you know, without necessarily getting political, I'm curious, given how long you've been in this business, this life, if you will, the previous White House, growing fresh foods and local foods was a real priority, especially for the former First Lady Michelle Obama.
Right.
You know, obviously, it does not seem like this is a priority for the current White House, but I'm curious, how much difference, as someone who's involved in this, how much difference do you see influence from the top making in the overall interest in things like aquaponics and local foods?
Right. Well, I think it's a tremendous influence, especially from the First Lady, Michelle Obama. It's estimated that over 10 million people started growing food when she put that small garden on the White House lawn. I was fortunate to be able to work with her over the course of their stay in at the White House. So when we were able to do some really important things and influence people and get people inspired to go out and just start something, because the hardest thing to do is for people to do is get something started. People will go to trainings or read books and forever and ever, but to get them started on something is something that's really important, and I think she's been very instrumental in helping to do that. So I'd like to give her a lot of credit. This new administration, it's too early to tell whether they'll keep the garden at the White House. It would be a real tragedy if they stopped doing that. The National Park Service is the one that actually does the physical work on the garden, so maybe it'll continue. I hope so, but you never know, because as we listen to the you know, the primaries and so forth, nobody ever talked about the food system, which is the most important thing in our lives is our food. So we'll have to see, you know, what's going to happen.
I imagine, not to put words in your mouth, there's a certain amount of work that needs to be done to keep this idea in front of people.
Absolutely. And that's what we have to do, is to be able to do things, get the word out of what's going on. You know, like today, this great opportunity that you're giving us to talk about what we're doing is a way of educating folks and letting them know what's going on and what we've been doing for all these years. Because it takes a long time. These things don't happen overnight. you know, and we're at, I always tell people we're at the infancy stages of what we're doing.
And through our workshops, that also provides the people with a an opportunity to find out what's going on, what they need to do. And these workshops are pretty unique in their own right because the presenters that we have for these different sessions are scientists and engineers, or they have that kind of background. They're working in academic areas, and it's just not a case where someone is setting up a workshop and they get two or three people to come and give talks and they read the book on system design and construction and then they do it. These, you know, we have people that are scientists in water chemistry, aquatic microbiology, fin fish husbandry, plant husbandry, nutrition. So the people are getting really good and high quality education at these workshops, and that's probably one of the most important things that we can offer.
Should be people be prepared to get their hands dirty?
On the two-day workshop at Growing Power, they better be prepared for that.
And wet.
And wet.
And wet, dirty. And yeah, we spend 2 days actually building a starter system that's about 700-gallon system. And everybody participates. And as I travel the country, I find these systems all over the country and all over the world now. So.
You know, I'm curious. I wonder if you see a lot of people who might go into this thinking that this would be, you know, for lack of a better word, a hobby and don't really realize how much effort and tending to it they need to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're doing sustainable agriculture, which we're doing, there's a lot of day-to-day work. You have to put in the time and you got to be committed, and the people that aren't committed get out of it very quickly because they realize that they can't. Keeping these fish alive is something that you have to be on top of all the time. So,
this is not like having a goldfish tank in your...
No.
No, and I usually use the analogy that this is not like going to the hardware store in the spring of the year and buying a package of radish seeds and bringing them home and planting it, and 25 days later you'll have radishes. That's just not the case at all. There's a lot of effort that has to go into this, and you have to be very diligent and very responsible about doing the things that you have to do, and it's a repeat, continuously repeating routine. And for some people, that can get boring, and then they just kind of start taking shortcuts, and that will lead to problems, and eventually they'll have a lot of difficulty with their system, and some either with the plants and vegetables or with the fish. The fish are probably the most risky and sensitive part of this whole thing. As Will often says to me, he says, see that plant over there in a corner, it's wilting. But if I go water it tomorrow, it's going to be well.
Yeah.
With a fish, if it's on its side floating around, there's not much that you can do for it. So you have to really be on top of it with regards to the fin fish and shellfish biology part.
A lot of effort, but a lot of payoff potentially.
Big payoff, yeah. Personal and probably to some extent too financial.
Yeah.
And really, who likes radishes that much anyway, right?
Well, fish is one of the foods that people are really into. I mean, a lot of people stop eating red meat and, you know, even pork and things like that, and chicken. But I talk to a lot of vegetarians, and they'll eat fish on occasion. So it's something that I think everybody eats. And I think when you look at... the protein levels of fish, is tremendous amount of protein in fish. I think salmon is number one in terms of providing protein to our bodies. So,
and the food conversion from feed to fish flesh is exceptional as compared to, you know, some of the other livestock products that we all love and eat. And but fish is very similar to, let's say, poultry in that respect.
Fred Binkowski, Will Allen, thanks to both of you for sharing this story, and best of luck with the workshops and in your work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity to be here, and I hope we get a lot of interested people signing up for the workshops.
I hope so.
Former pro basketball player and MacArthur fellow Will Allen is the founder and CEO of Growing Power. Fred Binkowski is a senior scientist at the UW-Milwaukee School of Freshwater Sciences, and there's a link to more information about their aquaponics workshops at WUWM.com.
And some updated information since our interview took place. The Trump White House has said it plans to keep in place the produce garden that Will Allen referred to in the interview.